Now, all over South Africa, if you just have to keep an eye out, over the last few years, it's just too visible. Enter into any convenience store, enter into any supermarket, and whereas previously the refrigeration space was dominated by juices, perhaps, and more than that, carbonated beverages, what we find today is entire refrigeration space and entire fridges are simply dedicated to energy drinks. Many of them are within hands reach. Many of them are extremely cheap. And there's also an explosion in the number of products within the energy drinks space in South Africa. What is the danger that would be posed by this to the individual, but more than that, to the entire public health system in South Africa? We exploring this evening on Under the Radar with Aviva Tuggendraft. She's a deputy director at Priceless, which is based at the Wits School of Public Health here in Johannesburg. Aviva, thank you so much for your time. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me.
If you can just give us the bird's eye view of this before we kind of narrow it down to energy drinks particularly, because they all form part of a kind of category called sugar-sweetened beverages, which as a whole poses major health challenges to South Africans. What are sugar-sweetened beverages in the context of our discussion tonight?
Yeah, sure. So sugar-sweetened beverages, they usually refer to drinks that are non-alcoholic drinks with added sugar. So things like carbonated drinks, your fruit juices with added sugar, as well as energy drinks, ready-to-drink teas and coffees that have sugar in it. So it's any drink with added sugar. But there's also a move to frame these drinks as sugary beverages, which then include even the 100% fruit juices.
Okay, so when you talk about as a researcher, and when you tackle the issues that stem here from, is this the broad category that you always refer to, sugar sweetened beverages?
Yeah, we usually refer to it as sugar sweetened beverages, and mostly because these are drinks that have quite high sugar content in them, and people are consuming large amounts of these, and this is the cause of a lot of disease and illness in the country.
I mentioned earlier in introducing you, Aviva, that you're part of Priceless. That might not really ring a bell with the listener immediately. Priceless, what exactly is your work at Priceless?
So we're a research unit based at the Wits School of Public Health, and Priceless looks at interventions for health for the country, and we really are interested in seeing where the country can get their biggest bang for their buck. So which interventions government should be investing in order to help the public health of the country. So things like a sugary beverage tax are one of the things we've looked at. That's a population level intervention, which has a really quick and big impact for the entire population. And our unit will model the impact of interventions like a sugary beverage tax to show how many lives it could potentially save, how much disease it could prevent. That's one of the things, but we focus on a broad range of health interventions for South Africa.
Now, this would be the job of the statistician, so we don't want to do extensive number or data crunching this evening, Aviva, but as far as these sugar-sweetened beverages, is it something that's very, very widespread across South Africa, the different demographics, whether it's age, whether it's gender, whether it's income? Is it something that's really infiltrated the entire population to some degree or the other?
Yes, so definitely. We've seen over the past few years that sales of sugary beverages have just been increasing, along with the marketing and advertising spends. Those have also been going up. And we see that while the beverage sales are rising, so are things like obesity and other diseases. And we now have around 11% of men and 39% of women in the country, of adults, obese. And what's even more alarming is that 20% of children are obese or overweight. And these drinks are definitely growing in all population groups and all amongst all demographics, but they are currently higher in the higher LSM groups. But what's very alarming is that the lower LSMs have been targeted for the growth market. So they, beverage companies, are basically saying this is where our growth opportunity lies, and these are the populations that must be targeted in order to increase growth.
And I guess we see that, and we'll talk a bit more about that later in terms of the price. We could see, obviously, in this targeting that you referred to, many of these energy drinks particularly are very, very low priced, and which does also raise questions on what exactly does one find in these beverages. You know, usually when something is very cheaply priced, it's also a reflection of the kind of things that one finds within it, with little or scant regard for regulation or public health. But we'll come to that. I just want to ask you, you identify issues like diabetes or obesity. Do you make a direct link between energy drinks or sugar sweetened beverages in South Africa and diabetes and obesity? Are there major contributing factors? What other impacts do we know for sure that these beverages have had on public health in South Africa?
So there's an undoubted link between excess sugar consumption and obesity and related non-communicable diseases like diabetes, heart disease, and some cancers. So that's our first starting point. Excess sugar definitely leads to these kinds of diseases. And when we take our sugary beverages, we see that in them they contain high amounts of sugar. So just to put it in context, one serving of these drinks, a 330 ml serving contains around 8 teaspoons of sugar, but your energy drinks, some of them mostly are consumed in bigger serving sizes, and they can contain even up to 15 teaspoons of sugar. And the WHO limit on added sugar is 6 teaspoons per day. So just to put it in context, most of these drinks are over that limit, and people are consuming more than one of these a day. So the excess sugar we're taking in, and particularly in liquid form. So these drinks contain sugar in liquid form, which has an even greater impact, negative impact on the body. The body metabolizes liquid sugar very differently to in solid form, and it spikes insulin levels and also then results in these diseases. So drinking one of these a day increases the likelihood of being overweight for adults by around 30% and increases the chances of getting diabetes also by around 27%. So there's definitely a link there, and global research and evidence is really showing this strong link.
Now, I hear you say the World Health Organization limit there, Aviva. Is that something that's regulatory? Is it something that is also interwoven within South African health regulations, that one cannot exceed a certain amount within beverages, or is this merely on a recommendation basis?
No, it's merely a recommendation basis, but it is a large basis for the work and for the implementation of the the health promotion levy, sugar sweetened beverage tax. A large part of it is also based on that. But yeah, currently just a recommendation. But we know that what WHO recommends, a lot of countries often follow and try to adhere to.
From the stats that you gave there, the amount of sugar in cold drinks versus the amount of sugar in energy drinks, I think a picture emerges there particularly clearly, which is that these kind of are more dangerous. Is that a fair conclusion to make? Both are bad, but this is on a higher level of danger to public health?
I would say, yeah, in some cases, because some of your energy drinks are containing a lot more sugar. And as I say, people are drinking a bigger size serving. But the other thing is that they also contain caffeine. So we have two I mean, there's quite a few bad ingredients in them, but we have two really concerning ingredients, and that's excess sugar and excess caffeine. And the two together can really lead to serious health issues. Plus, these drinks are marketed as having supposed improved physical and mental performance. So that's the other side, the other really bad side to these drinks, is that people perceive them in a healthier light than some of your other sugary beverages.
I can't put an actual timeline to this, but it's within the last few years. Just a few years ago, when one would talk about energy drinks in South Africa, and just to illustrate it by you know, using the name of a brand, one would almost instantaneously just think about Red Bull, for instance, in South Africa. And now it's almost as if Red Bull has been relegated and so many other new players have come to the market. What has, I guess from your side, specifying one brand or the other, what is it that has contributed to so many brands entering and, you know, energy drinks becoming so prominent in South African retailers?
Well, it's been beverage industries diversifying as well and, you know, wanting to really tap into this market. So a lot of competition and then making use of different advertising and marketing strategies. So these drinks are now really available, as you were saying right in the beginning. They're available everywhere, heavily marketed, and there's a lot of demand now for them, but the demand really has been created by the beverage companies, who have been very tactical in their marketing strategies.
When we respond to this, and that's obviously the where you fit in, you know, much more strongly, and that is at Priceless, and how you motivate government to take certain or to embark on certain interventions. We've heard a lot about the sugar tax or health promotion tax. I haven't really followed it closely enough. Is it already instituted in South Africa, or what's its status as we speak?
Yeah, it's already implemented in South Africa. It came into place in April this year. And so now there is a sugar tax on drinks that have added sugar. And it's basically 2 cents per gram of sugar. The nice thing about the South African version is that it's actually placed on the sugar content. So anything that exceeds 4 grams per 100 ml is taxed, and it's after the first 100 ml, then it's 2 cents per gram of sugar. So it also incentivizes, the way it's designed is really nice, because it incentivizes industry to reduce the sugar content in their drinks.
You, coming from the concern you have about public health, you would automatically say that this is good. And as you I think you did mention a bit earlier that this is a very quick way of trying to reverse some negative trends. But the naysayers out there and the pessimists out there would say this is the government just jumping onto a good opportunity to get more into the treasury and into the fiscus to make up for its other shortcomings. So do you believe government's interest in this is genuine, and they seeing the effects in the hospitals and the burden that this is putting on the public health system, and that's why they're interested, or is it just revenue?
I think it's definitely the burden that they're facing, which is costing the country really millions. You say the burden on the public health sector, just to give you a picture of that, there are about 10,000 new cases of diabetes per month in the public health sector, and those are just the diagnosed cases. So we know that there's a lot of undiagnosed cases that only reach the health system when they reach the point of amputation or blindness, or really when there are severe complications already happening. So I think this is costing the country a lot. And they know that we are in crisis mode. The figures I gave you earlier around obesity, just to also put that in context, we're looking at 19 million adults obese or overweight. Now, that's a lot of people, as well as the 20% of children. And this is really just growing. The trajectory is not looking very good. So the country has acknowledged that this is crisis mode, and I think that they have implemented this tax because they do want to have a very, they want to have an impact across the entire population. And they really are committed. They have an obesity strategy in place. They have a non-communicable disease strategy in place. And they have said that part of this, part of the revenue generated will be put into health promotion. So really, we can't do this health promotion without the money for it. So that will have an even further impact. The tax itself will have an impact. And then the further health promotion and education, which is already ongoing, you know, there are lots of TV adverts now, billboards. The government is already investing in these things. So certainly they're committed.
I'm really out of time, but I just want to ask you, is there a place in the strategy beyond the tax, you know, for things such as advertising bans, not allowing these products to be sold to perhaps children, younger people, putting warnings on products, etc.?
Yes, of course, and certainly. And the NCD strategy for South Africa and the obesity strategy talks to this broader comprehensive approach. The tax is just the first step, but things like advertising regulations, front of pack labeling, easy to understand labeling, those are really, really essential, and they must follow, and the impact will be even greater with everything together.
Aviva, great speaking to you. A good overview of the subject. You know, what one level is the personal level. How do we ensure that we look after our own health, but also how does this message reach far and wide so that it doesn't, you know, give us a huge burden on the public health system going forward? I thank you so much for your time and the great work that you're doing, and good evening to you.
Thanks a lot.
Aviva Tugendhat is the Deputy Director at Priceless at the Wits School of Public Health. Spot on, 9 o'clock.